Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hala Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. A little background, I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I am on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and to empower people, especially adults, to own their voice and talents that come in so many different forms. So I created this space to talk with people with all different kinds of jobs, hobbies, and interests, and to have conversations about experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think that it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation, and we see where it goes. So I have had the opportunity to talk with so many different kinds of people, musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, and so many more. And these conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. People have defined creativity as their soul's essence, courage, imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So I believe that sharing these stories expands one's thinking and opens up self-expression to feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. So my inspiring guest for today is Tracy Rampling Brown. She is a certified moonologer and a moon manifestation coach who works with overwhelmed, multi-passionate entrepreneurs that want to succeed in business by doing it their own way. By reconnecting with their intuition, harnessing the energetics of the moon cycles, and balancing their divine masculine and feminine energies, Tracy's clients become perfectly aligned to manifest the out of their dreams and live vibrant, balanced, joy-filled lives they love. Whoa, love this. Tracy, welcome to the space. Tracy, can you hear me? I don't see you here anymore. There we go.
Hi, Hollis. Hi. Thank you so much for having me. It's so exciting to be here.
I am so happy that you are here. Welcome. Joining us from Italy. How was your day? What was the weather like today?
Oh, so it's beautiful. You can see that autumn is actually finally starting to arrive. The leaves on the trees are just starting to show little hints of yellow, and the weather has lost that really summery feel to it. So they're having those beautiful cooler mornings where you just want to throw open the windows and let all the cool air in, and it's really just glorious to get outside.
Oh my gosh, I love fall.
I know, it's like one of my every year I'm like, oh my god, this is my favorite season. And then winter comes, and when it snows, I'm like, no, this is my favorite season. And then spring comes and the flowers start, and I'm like, no, this is my favorite season. And then summer comes and I'm like, yeah, no, summer, sorry, it's not you. And then fall comes and I'm like, oh, fall, I love you.
So everyone, I totally can relate, because that whole summer, and I appreciate summer because there's, you know, there's different things we get to do in that time, but the extreme heat, I agree, I'm not one for extreme heat.
Yeah, no, I mean, we moved to Italy from Australia, and in Australia it gets pretty hot during summer, but everybody has air conditioners, and you basically turn the air conditioner on at the beginning of summer and you turn it off at the end of summer, and you live in like 18 degree air conditioned joy for the heat of summer. It's only hot when you go outside, whereas the Italians don't do that. In fact, they don't do ceiling fans. They don't really do air conditioning. And if you do happen to have an air conditioner, they only really turn it on for 5 minutes at a time to refresh the room. So, you know, you do have box fans and things like that through the summer, but it's a whole mindset switch going from air conditioned summers to the ways that you manage heat in summer in Europe, or like in Italy, where it's all about, you know, opening the windows early in the morning to catch that cool air to cool the house down. And then at 11 o'clock, you close all the shutters and you turn the house into a dark cave to stop the sunlight coming in and heating everything up. And then in the afternoons, once the sun has passed, you can open them back up again. But you don't want the windows open because the heat seems to actually like peak at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's still really, really hot through till dinner time.
So there's this kind of like romanticized idea of throw open the windows, close the windows, but there's a reason behind it.
Exactly. So huge mindset shift, but there is a lot of romance and practicality that underpins the romance once you work out why they do it like that.
So funny. Oh my gosh. Okay. So this is going to be good. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about who you are before we do a dive into the questions?
Yeah, for sure. So you've already done an amazing introduction about what I do when it comes to things like moonology and working with women to help them rebalance their divine masculine and feminine. But other things that are really relevant to know, I am a wife and a mother of two teenagers, and they are mostly independent except when it comes to feeding themselves, and then apparently they're completely incapable of doing it. And I'm also a slave to a Bengal cat. So if you hear at some stage what sounds like a very small child crying or wailing in the background, just remember that I have two teenagers and that's my cat.
I totally get it. They know when we're busy, and all of a sudden you hear like these meows from usually our cat. Well, all of a sudden, if he doesn't see anybody, I'm like, are you having like your Finding Dory moment? He'll just start meowing. I'm like, babe, we're up here. You know we're up here. You just went down to the kitty litter box. So we call his name and he comes running up like looking nervous.
Yeah. See, I think if I called mine, she wouldn't come. Because she's very independent. She's like those memes that you see on Facebook where it's got the cat and it's like, love me with your eyes. And it's like got the cat kind of like turning its tail away from you, like, no, don't touch me, like, love me, but don't love me. not up close. She does like to be the center of attention. She likes everybody to know that she's the boss.
She's a real cat. That's what cats do. That's who they are.
And she's very vocal. She's very vocal. And creative in her own ways. If you want to talk creativity, she is phenomenal. She knows how to open door handles. She knows how to flush toilets. She can find her way up onto the top of window frames and, you know, things that the way she'll find a way to the highest possible point in the room, seemingly impossibly. She'll find creative places to sleep, including in the drawers under my son's bed. One night we thought she must have jumped out the window and run off because we couldn't find her anywhere in the apartment, and it turned out she was asleep in the drawers under his bed, which we'd never seen her do that before, and we've never seen her do that since. But that night she must have been trolling the fuck out of us.
Oh my God, animals.
So aside from those things, I'm very crafty, very creative. My daughter's actually crocheting at the moment, making herself a pencil case because school starts here in Italy next week. She's finished the crochet and she's about to stitch on a zip. So we are a very creative family in different ways. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation about creativity and how it is a multifaceted being.
I am too. And just so you know, I'm hearing everyone. Do you have headphones in?
I do.
Okay. Every once in a while, I'm hearing, it's not consistent. I'm hearing my echo, but I'm not hearing it right this second. So I don't know. So I'll let you know if it starts to happen and I keep hearing it, because that'll be kind of annoying. But right now it sounds okay. Okay, so we're going to jump into our would you rather question first, and then we'll dive into the questions. So,
Amazing.
Tracy, would you rather give up cursing forever or give up ice cream forever?
Sorry, can you repeat that, Hollis? My daughter just came. She's like, Mom, can you hear that? There's a cat outside meowing like crazy. She was asking it right at the same time. So would I
Would you rather
would
give
I
up cursing forever or give up ice cream forever?
Oh my God, that's like the worst question.
I know, right?
I live in Italy and we have really great gelato, so I think I would have to give up swearing, except that I really like swearing.
I was
Oh
thinking where you are is like the ice cream capital of the world, so I was wondering what you were going to choose.
yeah, I'm gonna go with the gelato.
Yeah. So you would go with the gelato, but
I
you'd give
would
up
keep the
cursing.
gelato and I'd give up cursing.
Yeah, I know. It'd be hard,
It might
right?
take a while to retrain,
I totally get it. Constantly be like, oops, okay, delete, oops, delete.
Yeah.
So, okay, so let's dive on in, and here we go. So, Tracy, how do you define creativity?
So I was thinking about this, and I think that for me, creativity is really allowing your mind to explore and dive deep into the ideas that it comes up with, because creativity is so much more than just the creative arts. It's that birthing of ideas, really, that birthing and nurturing of ideas from a spark of something into life. And I see that in lots of ways. My husband and my son are both programmers and they're both phenomenally creative, but in the STEM sort of science and technology way of coming up with complex programming things that create programs or games or all sorts of things that might not look creative in the way that my daughter is creating amigurumi every and all sorts of different things, but they're still just as creative. So for me, I think creativity is really following and exploring the ideas that come into your mind and allow them into being.
I love that. Yeah. And so when I started my companies, I am creative, and then Express Yourself Publishing. But this was the whole idea because it makes me nuts when, or I should say it's my pet peeve when, we do our niceties and introduce ourselves. What do you do? What do you do? And I say, art teacher. I left that officially 3 years ago. In the traditional sense, but people immediately get like their body language, they step back and usually their hands go up and they say, I can't draw or paint, or I can only draw a stick figure, because that's the societal connection to what creativity is. So my response is always, that's okay. Neither can I. Like, I went to art school, but that doesn't mean that's what I do. It's not my voice, it's not my expression. So I love in everything that you said, it's basically birthing and nurturing your ideas and then pointing out about your husband and son with their programming, because people feel so relieved when you point out to them and when you nurture that these are creative expressions. People are like, oh, I've never thought of it that way. And I love that.
Yeah, I do think sometimes it's a bit of a mindset shift for people. And for me, when we first talked about creative conversations, I mean, these days, I've always been really crafty and I've always loved art. I'm not particularly good at drawing. I love painting. I love working with inks, but not in a, you'll never see any of my portraits hanging in like a gallery or anything like that. But it, I think it's just also the expression of emotion as well. It's expression of ideas and emotion in different ways.
Yeah, because I think it's important. I mean, the whole point of what I'm trying to say and the point of these conversations is that by it's not to discount the talents that people have, but it's to, and it's not just being politically correct and saying, everybody join in. It's just because, but it is kind of what I am saying is I want you to feel empowered and recognize what your talents are. Because I believe that the word creativity or creative is a heavy word. And I feel like that when people see themselves within that realm, that it gives them, it's empowering, that it basically at the heart of it brings joy and happiness because they feel like they have a purpose, because they feel like they're expressing themselves, because they feel like they're taking time for themselves to really explore options and have more fun.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. It's so true. That's just, you know, it brings to mind so many things and so many people that are in my world as well who may not necessarily consider themselves creative, but the way that they are also birthing ideas that are expressions of their creativity in different ways. And it doesn't matter if they're, you know, coaches or small business owners with actual products or things like that. I have a girlfriend who started a business making wooden Play-Doh stampers out of reclaimed wood and has turned it into a phenomenal business. And it's an expression of creativity that was birthed out of her having her first daughter and wanting her to have some toys that weren't plastic.
Wow. You see, so it's that whole innovation, imagination. It's like we get these sparks, like you use that word, we get these sparks and these sometimes I, you know, call them downloads or whatever it is. And you kind of like hear it, see it, smell it, taste it, whatever that sensory thing is for you. Or I see like pictures in my head and then the emotions get kicked in with it. And then it's the birthing process and the sculpting process to make it go from mind to reality.
Yeah, so much. I mean, I also worked in the jewelry industry, the luxury jewelry industry for many years before we moved overseas. And one of my last roles, or one of the last companies I worked for just before I moved, was a manufacturing jeweler. And so many of their jewelry pieces were actually more like art pieces in motion rather than just the buy it in a chain jewelry store kind of thing. These were pieces of jewelry you were buying because it was like wearing art. And seeing how creativity translates from, you know, a lump of gold or, you know, a tray full of loose pearls into something absolutely incredible is just, it's just amazing.
Yeah. I mean, jewelry is like, they're sculptures and to me, and I, for me, it's earrings. Like earrings are my, like if I walk out without my earrings, it's like I'm naked. Just like, where are my earrings? I've actually kind of had little panic attacks. I've like walked out or gotten into the car or whatever. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm not wearing earrings. It's like not makeup or anything like that. It's like, this is, these are my clothes. This is my emotion, my expression of what today is.
Oh yes. I love that because it is, it's such an easy way of expressing a different facet of our personality by doing something like changing our earrings. Mm-hmm.
So tell us about, so interested to hear about these things that you've done in order to lead you to where you are now and this whole moon manifestation coach. So you did jewelry for 15 years and tell us more.
Oh, so it was actually a really long creative journey to get to where I am too. I, like I said, in Australia, I worked in the jewelry industry for a really long time before I had my kids. And then once they were in full-time school, I went back to working in jewelry. But then we decided to move overseas. And as I'm sure you can imagine, moving to Italy was kind of like moving to a creative capital, like just a melting pot of architecture and history and culture and beauty. And I remember when we very first arrived that We were in Rome, staying at an Airbnb, and we were just exploring the city this one night, and it got to sunset, and it was late summer. It was like this time of year, because actually next week it's the 3rd of anniversary of us arriving. And so it was this time of year, and I was looking at the sky and the clouds, and it looked like a Renaissance painting, just the way the light was hitting the clouds and like these soft shades of like pink and blue and like soft mauve in it. And I was just like, oh my God, because the colors are so different than in Australia, where they're vibrant in Australia, but they're jarringly vibrant. They're not these soft pastely kinds of colors that you see in those Renaissance paintings. And I was just like, oh, so it's not just because, you know, like those paintings are old, it's because that's actually what it looks like. You know, it's like living in a painting. And so moving here really shifted a lot of things for me. And I had been making a leap into coaching before we'd left Australia. I thought I was going to become a corporate coach and work with companies on employee engagement and communication and team building and lots of very left brain kinds of things. And then when we moved to Italy, of course, I didn't have the language skills. My Italian is passable, but it's certainly not go and work in the corporate sector kind of fluent. And so I had access to, through the coaching programs I was using, access to a life coaching program. And I was like, okay, well, I'll do that for a little while. I'll do that as a bit of a side hustle, work with some local expats who speak English. And then when my Italian's good enough, I'll go into corporate. But I really loved working with people. And the more that I started working with people, I started actually just before the pandemic, I ran a vision boarding workshop with a group of local expat girls. And we were all there with our magazines, merrily cutting pictures out and drinking wine and having an amazing time creating these visions for this future that we wanted to create, with zero idea that 2 weeks later we were going into lockdown for 3 months. But the magic was that I ended up with 3 or 4 of the girls who were there messaged me over during that first lockdown and said, you'll never believe how many of the things on my vision board I've managed to actually manifest in different ways than I thought. But, you know, one of them had started teaching language classes online, which she'd always wanted to do. She'd always loved languages, but she didn't know how to use them. And now, because she was stuck at home, she was looking for things to do. So she started advertising that she could teach Italian or Spanish or English online, and started teaching language classes online. And so I got all these amazing stories. And as we went through the first lockdown, I think I'd really started to go through a bit of a spiritual reawakening. So it wasn't just an awakening, it was more like a reawakening, because I'd been in that place about 20 years earlier before I'd had my kids, and I had, you know, been into tarot and I all of those things. And suddenly I kind of remembered that I had bought some of these things to Italy with me, and I felt really called to get back into my tarot cards, and I started offering tarot readings online. And surprisingly enough, people started paying me to do it. And all these things started lining up, that the coaching clients I was working with loved it when I would pull tarot or oracle cards for them. And I found a couple of oracle card decks that I really, really wanted. And I had this whole thing, because when I first started learning tarot 25 years ago, it was the internet wasn't what it is now. Like, we're so spoiled for choice. You couldn't just Google what the cards meant or anything like
that.
You either had to be taught by somebody, or you had to have a book, like a physical book. There were no ebooks, there was none of that stuff. And so the guy who taught me how to read tarot was of the school of thought that you don't buy decks for yourself, that they have to be gifted to you. And I realized that in this day and age, of course, we can buy anything that we want. You don't have to do that. But I had this thing about, you know, I had previously bought decks for myself and they hadn't resonated and I'd ended up giving them away. So it's like, no, if these decks are meant to come to me, that the universe will find a way to bring them to me. And so I really wanted Rebecca Campbell's Work Your Light Oracle deck and Yasmin Boland's Moonology Oracle deck. And through a series of events last year, I actually managed to manifest both of those decks for, like, through competitions where I had won them and been sent them in the mail. And the universe brought them to me without me having to buy them. But the Moonology one was particularly special because I won it from Yasmin herself. And I also won a personal destiny reading with her. So I didn't just win an Oracle deck. She was giving away 11 as part of a launch of her 2021 Moonology diary. But I actually won the grand prize. And so that personal destiny reading with her changed my life. And if I thought that I was interested in Moonology before, after having had Yasmin do a reading for me, I was just like completely blown away. And I started, I'd already started, as I'd been following Yasmin, I had been, you know, I'd been teaching manifestation as part of my coaching for months and before I started aligning my own personal practice with the cycles of the moon. And then late at the end of last year, she launched her certified Moonology course. And again, it was like another sign from the universe that this is for you. And so I was in that first cohort of mostly women. I don't even know if any men have signed up for it. But not that they can't. I mean, they can. But I was part of that first cohort that went through and I finished my certification in time for the new year. And I went out straight away and started teaching. I started doing Moonology readings for people where I would get all of their birth chart data and I would cast their charts and I would go through and I would explain to them all about their astrological houses and how that influenced different parts of their personality, and then how they could use that information to harness the cycles of the moon to improve their manifesting capabilities. And it really took off. It was, you know, there was me trying to do my coaching and everything, and suddenly it was like I'd been shunted in a different direction. That this was actually the direction I was meant to be going in. And it really opened up new worlds of creativity. And then it brought this opportunity to write a chapter for a book that's coming out next month called Aligned Leaders, which was all about wisdom from women who are choosing their soul's mission over societal expectations with no regret. And of course, when it came along, it was one of those things where I was really stepping out of just manifestation and mindset coaching and into moon coaching and moon manifestation coaching, and really stepping up and saying, well, I'm not just another mindset coach. I'm going to teach you how to do it by harnessing the moon cycles and becoming a master manifestor. And so this book just came along at the exact right moment. And I didn't know it when I said yes, but that ended up being my story was that chapter of this becoming this master manifestor and this moon manifestor. And then it's, you know, the creativity just keeps coming in different, you know, I've just launched a monthly membership, the Moon Manifestation Academy, where I am not just doing readings for people, but I'm actually helping people to integrate it into their everyday by working with the moon cycles through the month. And so it has been a massive creative journey because the ideas just keep dropping in all the time. And I'm like struggling to keep up with all of the divine downloads and all of those sparks and actually birthing them into the world.
But, and that's a beautiful point. Oh, there, it just did that whole, I just heard myself as an echo. Okay, so I want to welcome the people that are here live because I see people jumping on. So happy that you're here. Please feel free to comment or ask any questions in the chat box and we will see them. So I love what you're mentioning though, because for you, I have a few questions, but how does that work for you as the downloads come in? How do you prioritize?
So I've started to make sure that I have a notebook nearby. And I recently upgraded from a paper notebook to a Remarkable tablet, so I can just open new notebooks, digital notebooks, and start scribbling them down like on an iPad with all of the ideas as they come in. And I've plotted out, like this week, I've plotted out 3 new ideas of things that I want to create, some for the Moon Manifestation Academy, some for new programs that I'm looking at. Apparently I'm looking at releasing that I didn't even know I was going to be doing before the new moon. Like it was kind of like a new moon download. Like here's a new program that you're going to have to offer that actually isn't specifically related to the moon, but it's related to other things that I see happening in that keep coming up in my coaching, in my moon coaching, in my manifestation coaching and all of the things with these small business owners and women who, because one of the other things that I didn't mention is I also have a degree in accounting. And so I've just finally finished that after 6 years. And things that I've been implementing in my business, including a book called, I recently read a book by Mike Michalowicz called Profit First, and it was brilliant. And it really shifted things for me into perspective. And as an accountant, I was just like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. And I love it. And everybody should be doing it. And because it's all about, I see so many women who are afraid to know the numbers in their business. They're afraid to separate their own personal identity from their business. So when they get revenue in, they think, oh, you know, like I made $1,000 this month, and but then they're not factoring into it that they might have expenses of, you know, with their website and everything, they might have spent $500, right. And then they're not actually paying themselves a salary out of it, and then they end up wondering why they're always only breaking even or only manifesting exactly the amount that needs to go out of their account that month, or they're not ever really right. building that comfort cushion. And so, yes, I have this new program I'm currently putting together and developing that's really, really exciting. But when you're talking about prioritizing, it is that conflict sometimes between the things where I'm like, oh, but I really want to create a handout for my Moon Manifestation Academy talking about the Mercury retrograde that's coming up at the end of this month. And so that they can navigate like all the challenges that are going to come with Mercury retrograde, and so that they can understand why these things are happening and where it's triggering things in their chart and why they're feeling really heavy at the moment. Like, why is the energy heavy? And so having this digital notebook has really been helping me, because I can have all of these separate files and keep them organized, but without having to have 50 different notebooks spread over my kitchen table, which is where I was before.
So smart. Yeah, I totally understand that, because it ends up, you're like, where did I put that? And it becomes this, you know, disorganized and causes more chaos when you want to create, you know, more order in a sense, to be able to have the ideas, you know, come together. But that whole, because I understand the whole downloads coming down, and then it's like, okay, I need to figure out which ones are going to serve now. Like, there's been improvement on my end where it's like, okay, just breathe and let's focus on this one thing at a time right now. So it's not shiny object, and the other thing will come into fruition. But it's feeling into it more instead of just acting so impulsively, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it is exactly what you're saying. Like, what is it that's going to serve me now? Sometimes I write down the ideas. so that they don't end up lost on, you know, that mountain of forgotten dreams, where you have the idea and it's so vivid in your mind, but you haven't recorded it and you don't have time to focus on it right now. And then you remember later, you're like, oh, what was that amazing idea I had? But it's gone. Yeah. So I've really started to try and write them down and capture them. Even if I can't focus on it right now, that it's there so that then when I'm ready to come back to it, I'm like, ooh, and I've already mapped that out. That was such good planning of me. Oh, you're such a good girl.
Good job, me.
There you go. Good job. So that's something I've been really trying to improve on, because up until recently, all of my great ideas are ones that I have usually either when I've got my hands in a sink full of dishes, or I'm in the shower, or I'm riding my bike, or something where I do not have my hands free and I do not have my phone available to just take a voice note or something.
Yeah.
And I write these brilliant blog posts, or I write brilliant copy, or I come up with these brilliant ideas. And then by the time I sit down, I'm like,
I know exactly. Oh my God. And ladies and gentlemen listening, if you can relate, whether it's live or replay, just like say, yes, I totally understand that. Because when we distract ourselves and we're in this space of, you know, just being and just laughing or doing and moving our bodies and all that, is when things are more open and it just flows in. And I totally get that. Like, you're sitting, you're like, where did that go? But before I move on, because of time, I want to ask you just another thing about the moonology, and then we're going to move on to the second question, which is, so basically when you're doing a reading, it's astrological based. But then also, are you, when you're keying in the information, is it a lot of technical and then your intuition as well?
So I don't dive too much into the astrology side of things. So yes, I do cast an astrological birth chart, and we will touch on certain elements of the birth chart, but the reading actually takes the information. It's more about the astrological houses, I guess. And the intuitive part of that mostly comes with describing to people how the different zodiac signs manifest in their different houses. So, for example, do you happen to know what your rising sign is, Hollis?
I think it's Virgo, but I'm not sure. Okay. I think it's Virgo.
Okay, so for example then, we just had the new moon in Virgo on Tuesday, right? And if you are a Virgo rising, Virgo represents your first house, because the rising sign is literally the constellation that was coming up over the eastern horizon at the moment that you were born in the place where you were born, which is why it's actually the most personal point on your chart. Because even if your sun sign is, what's your sun sign, Hollis?
I'm not sure.
So, what's your star sign, your zodiac?
Oh, I'm a Virgo.
Okay. So if you were a Virgo sun, right? So the sun is in Virgo, which means you were probably born at like this time of year, right? Then
September 4th.
So on September 4th, at whatever time of day you were born, in whatever town you were born, Virgo was coming up over the eastern horizon. However, if you had been born in Australia, which is where I was born, and I was born at the exact same time, on the exact same day, and you and I took our first breath at the exact same moment, I wouldn't be a Virgo rising, because Virgo would not have been rising over the horizon in Australia at that exact same time.
Gotcha.
And so the way that that then shows up in your chart, so everything is then measured from that rising sign, because your sun is just considered to be another planet on your chart. It doesn't revolve around the sun, funnily enough, despite the fact that we do actually revolve around the sun. But your birth chart assumes that the Earth revolves around, that everything revolves around the Earth because we mm-hmm. live on the Earth. And so Virgo rising would mean for you that at this new moon that we just had on Tuesday, Virgo represents your first house, and the first house is all about your public visibility. It is all about the way other people see you and the mask that you wear socially. And so where I guess the intuitive part comes in is when we talk about what Virgo represents and so how that shows up. So for you, if you are a Virgo rising, then Virgo will show up perhaps in the way that people see you as somebody who is very practical, very down to earth, the kind of person who is willing to do whatever it takes, but also really precise and analytical. Does that sound about right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The flip side of that is Virgo energy can also sometimes come off as a little bit critical. So sometimes people might feel like you're being a little bit critical of them, and or you might be a little bit critical of yourself in terms of how you think other people perceive you. So you might think that they're being more critical than they are. So it can mm-hmm. perhaps show up like that. So that kind of thing is what we do all the way around through all 12 houses. And so we talk about, you know, the second house is then all about money, and it's all about self-esteem and property and cash and the values that you have, your material wealth and your possessions. And so we would then go through and talk about the fact that then for you as a Virgo rising, that would be in Libra. And we would talk about what Libra energy is like, and how that might manifest in the way that you handle money and the way that you make decisions about how you spend money and things like that. So yes, mm-hmm. there is a bit of an intuitive element from that point of view, but it's not really about super complex calculations, no.
Yeah. Tracy is your person if you're interested in moonology and getting a reading. You definitely have to. So yeah, the moon just really interests me because we would always joke around when in the classroom, we'd say, because the kids would always act differently when there was a full moon. It just was. Yeah. People were, they were more energetic. Fights would break out more often. It would just be more hyped up, more tense. And we'd be like, what is going on? Is there a full moon today? And very often there was. So
yeah. And it's true though, because there was recently a study shown that because it's linked back to the fact that the moon is brighter in the sky, so it's shining more light, which means it actually interrupts our sleep patterns and messes with our circadian rhythm. And people find that when there is too much brightness in the sky, they struggle to have really good, strong sleep through those days. So then they're also feeling edgy and they're not in the right kind of energetic place. But also in terms of the actual moon cycle, it is the peak of that energetic swing, right? So the energy has been building all through that waxing phase, and it's really common, particularly at like the first quarter, to have lots of energetic clashes, right? Because the sun and the earth are both kind of competing to either have the moon in shadow or to light the moon up. And so quite often it's the time of the cycle, and it happens again at the third quarter as well, when we might have unexpected conflict with our partners or our friends or our kids, or, you know, like we might get an unexpected bill in the mail or something. It'll feel like we've suddenly been tripped up by a hurdle. And then as we get to the full moon, that energy is still building, and it comes to that climax. And sometimes it's like a good climax because we're reaching the peak of fruition for a project that we're working on. But sometimes if it's that frenetic or anxious energy or things like that, we get to that point where people are just, you know, freaking out and they just can't hold it in anymore. It's like we've reached the breaking point and we just can't deal with it anymore. And so, yeah, the kids in the classroom are reflecting that, you know, they're out there, you know, fighting in the playground because they just don't know what to do with all that energy.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, so cool. Okay, so let's move on to question two, which is basically some of what we've spoken about, but we'll dive in a little bit deeper, how you incorporate more creativity into your own life.
Okay, so I do like to be very creative and I do like to explore all of the things. So I love journaling. I love building out ideas and planning things out in my head. I love to talk with people about ideas. Like I love brainstorming sessions with biz besties, whether it's for my own personal ideas or whether it's to help them build out and create their own ideas. I love to craft. I love to cook. I love to read. I love to get outdoors in nature and just feel inspired by the beauty of my surroundings. Like sometimes I just feel that the most creativity comes from slowing down and just allowing our minds to open up and being still enough to actually receive.
Yes. Yeah, because when we're moving, there's so much chatter.
Yeah.
You just can't hear. I know. It's humanness. I always like to say, at least we're aware. There's the awareness in it, and then we can move on. But yeah, it's not all like rainbows and butterflies.
No.
But we're aware of these things in order to pivot and move in order to be like, okay, I'm feeling like I'm too in my head. I'm feeling like I'm at analyzing things. I'm just getting stuck. And it's like being stuck and just going over and over and over, like perseverating on the same thing. And you're like, I have to go outside. I have to go for a walk. I have to go exercise. I have to go pet the cat. I have to do anything but what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. It's I love that word perseverating as well. It's such a creative word on its own.
It is kind of cool, right? Perseverate.
Yeah. I think words are one of the things that I love about creativity. I'm one of those people that's just like, words, get in my bowl. I'm going to make a big word salad with all of you.
You also write, and you're a ghostwriter as well, aren't you?
Yeah, so I do lots of things. I spent quite a large chunk of last year in between building my coaching business, ghostwriting a book for a guy that is due to come out this year, but it might be early next year because he's sent it off now to the production team. So I was doing the ghostwriting. He sent me all of his bits and pieces, and it was my job to take it originally from a handwritten diary of lessons for his daughter, because very early on in the COVID pandemic, it turned out it was only tonsillitis, but he thought that he had COVID. He thought he was dying and he was like, oh my God, I haven't had a chance to tell my two-year-old anything. And if I die, then, you know, like I need to teach her all of the things. So he started writing down like his life lessons that he wanted to pass on to his daughter. And then he wanted to turn it into a book. And so I spent a large chunk of last year helping to birth that as well. And then I've had a couple of other little projects through this year as well. And then have now sort of stepped up into that mantle of writing my own story too, which I'd been putting off for a long time because I thought no one would be interested in my story. It wasn't special enough to share. But writing for other people certainly helps to change your perspective on that too.
Well, and you know what? That's that whole topic of life lessons, because he thought he was going to die and he wasn't going to be able to share it with his daughter. And it just makes me think even more, like, we can't screw around. Like, we can't wait for, like, these things that we want to say or these things that we want to do. I know life happens and all of this kind of stuff, but it's really the communication more so in the sharing the life lessons with your children. It's so important, that communication aspect. And I can say, having an 18 and a 21-year-old, how it's just really been a huge part in everything and all the cycles that we've been through. But talking about things and sharing things, and because you don't want to have these regrets. I was talking to someone earlier about this. It's like that whole, you know, the book, the most regrets that, you know, when people die. And it's these things that are the basic things of, you know, I wish I had more people over the house. I wish I wasn't so worried about it being messy. And I wish I did more things that I wanted to do. But this whole thing of communicating with your children, it's so important.
And I do think, especially as women entrepreneurs, one of the reasons we get into this journey of entrepreneurship is to actually make our families' lives better, because we actually want to create and build, whether it's financial wealth and financial legacy for our children, whether it is time, because we don't want to be stuck in a 9-to-5 job, because we want to be able to go to dance recitals, we want to be able to go to school concerts, we want to be able to go to sporting matches on weekends and stuff. But almost invariably, when you strip it back to the brass tacks, all the decisions we're making is because we want to make our families' lives better, and we want our children to have the best possible chance to have an amazing life. And sharing our stories and that kind of thing is actually a huge part of that, a really huge part of that, that I don't think that we do enough.
Yeah. So true. I was reading about this this man who, he actually went for 10 years anonymous, but he was writing his life story on the subway walls in New York, in the tunnels. And he actually posed as a metro worker they didn't know, they just thought he belonged there. And he wrote his life story on the walls, and they found out. It's so funny, because it was like a police chase. The police were trying to find out who it was, and they were trying to read it to try and see where he lived and all this kind of stuff. But I just found it so fascinating that it was a place where it was kind of anonymous, but he felt like he needed to get it out. But if you were actually looking, the whole thing with going through on the subway, it was written in the article basically saying that here are the words on the wall separated by glass. And because if people chose to look through it, they could kind of see it. They could get glimpses of it. I just thought it was such a beautiful concept and a beautiful story.
Oh, I love that. That idea that it's right there in front of you if you're willing to look.
Yeah. He got caught. Somebody apparently snitched on him. And he spent some time in jail. It seems so silly. It's like, why? I don't know. But it just kind of brings me back to you saying that, you know, so many people want to tell their story and write a book and share something, but so many people don't think that their story is that important. But there is so much we've all had experiences that nobody else has had, and it's going to resonate with the person or people that need to hear from it. It's important to get it out.
It is. I absolutely agree. I think finished is better than perfect. And so often we hold ourselves back because we want everything to be perfect. We want it to be written right. We want the spelling and grammar to be perfect. Like, we want all of the things, and we want it to be good enough, but it's never going to be good enough if it's never actually put out there.
Exactly. I have my multi-author book that's coming out next week. One of my contributors, she's just amazing. And she did not want to take any edits to her chapter, only because, not because she's like, I don't need anything, but just because she's like, you know what? She had a near-death experience. She was driving to work one day and she all of a sudden couldn't see. So she was like, oh, not a big deal. But then she's like, I really can't see, and I'm on the freeway. So she turned around, asked her son to take her to the eye doctor. The eye doctor, thank God, was like the kind that was a surgical one and said, take her to the hospital now. Her eyes are filling up with blood. Oh, and she needed immediate brain surgery. So my reason for saying this is that she was like, I am proud of the mistakes that I made. I am proud of everything that's there because I'm happy that I'm so grateful that I could do this because I could have died. So it's completely far from perfect.
I love the integrity of her writing, though, that she's made that choice out of, you know, like, this is my story. It doesn't matter that it's not perfect because I am just grateful to be alive and to be able to share it. And I want to leave it in its artistic integrity. Like, the way that I wrote it is good enough. Like, this is okay with me. I think that's actually amazing.
I know, right? So as we are at the top of this hour, let's ask the third question and kind of wrap it up and put a nice little bow on it and ask, so why do you think creativity is important?
Well, so I guess circling back to what I was saying in the very beginning about creativity being the birthing of ideas and the nurturing and bringing things into the world, I think it's important because nothing in this world has ever been created without somebody birthing an idea. You know, like, not a single thing that we have was like, everything we have was born from a single spark of an idea within somebody who then nurtured it, created it, and brought it to life. You know, every building, every invention, every technological advancement, every idea, every way of learning, every way of being, philosophy, science, math, everything stems back to somebody having a creative spark grow within them and have the curiosity to pursue it. So,
yes. Yes, yes, spark, curiosity.
Foundation of everything.
It is everything. No big deal. It's just everything.
Yeah.
I mean, not a big thing.
Go hard or go home, right?
Say it again.
I said go hard or go home, right?
Exactly. Our daughter's first plane ride was to Israel from the States. She's like, couldn't we have gone to Florida? And I said, go big or go home, babe.
Yeah.
Jump on that plane. Take that 18-hour flight. So,
sometimes
Tracy, can you please
dive in with both feet?
Exactly. Different volumes for both. It's hard to listen using a headset. Huh. So the sound isn't coming across okay? Please let me know if it sounds weird on your end. Thank you for letting us know. I appreciate it. So, Tracy, please let people know how they can find you.
Okay. So if you have managed to get to the end of our episode and you think, oh my goodness, I would love to know more about the method in her madness, you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/vibrantcoach. You can book a moonology reading with me if you would love me to walk you through your birth chart and explain to you how that all works, kind of like I was doing with Hollis a few minutes ago. And you can do that directly at vibrantcoach.as.me/moonology reading. If you would like to reach out on Instagram, you can find me at instagram.com/vibrantcoach. And if you'd like to know more about the Moon Manifestation Academy or anything like that, you can find all of the details on that either on Facebook, on Instagram, or you can find the details on my link in bio, which is at vibrantcoach.com/link in bio, all one word, no hyphens, link in bio. I am happy for anybody to reach out. If you've got any questions about any of the things and you want to know more about it, you can just, let me know. We'd love to hear all about your own moon astrological journeys.
So beautiful. So before we say goodbye and everything, give us like a final word of wisdom, whatever's jumping into your head.
Oh, so I do very strongly believe it was actually, it came up on my memories on Facebook today. It was 3 years ago today that they packed, that the movers came and packed up our house. And it really was one of those defining moments. We knew we were moving overseas, but it was one of those, now it's real. Like our whole house is packed up. It's actually finally happening. And so I guess the words of wisdom that I would love to share with you is that sometimes the most amazing, incredible opportunities you will have in life are the things that scare you. And as Hollis touched on earlier about the things that we regret are the things we didn't do rather than the things that we did. Take that leap of faith. Do that thing that you have always desperately been wanting to do, but have been too afraid to actually go out and do it, because I guarantee you will regret doing it less than you will regret not having ever even tried.
That is the most beautiful note to end on. You hear that, everybody? People listening live and replay. Oh my God. Words are golden. Tracy, thank you so much for taking the hour to be here with us. So very grateful.
Thank you so much for having me. It has been such a joy having this conversation with you, Hollis. And thank you to everybody who joined us live to listen, and to all of you on the replay. I am holding space for you in my heart, so thank you for being here as well.
I love that. So very grateful, truly. You could be doing anything with your hour and choosing to be here with us. It's just really, just very honored. So this space is all about inspiring each other, connecting and sharing stories. So please like, follow, and share. We've always needed this uplifting connection, but we need it more now than ever. So very, very grateful for you. And two side notes. One, for my company, I am creative. Our book is launching, multi-author book called Creativity Is Whatever You Want It to Be, next Friday, the 17th. 20 amazing contributing authors talking all about creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush. So check that out. Any questions, just message me through Podbean and I can give you the details. And also, kind of silly mentioning this, but I have a fan club now, which I am learning more on how to use. So I am going to be talking about that more. If you know how to navigate your way through this, you get some special emojis, and there's going to be some opportunities coming up with calling people up to the stage to speak. So more coming on that soon, but check it out. Play with Podbean a little bit. Check out the fan club and join, and it's going to be fun. So again, very grateful for you. I wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, wherever you are in this world, and we'll be talking to you soon. So goodbye, everybody.